Welcome back, everyone, to State of Belief Radio. I'm Welton Gaddy. We live in an age when it often seems most people don't have much use for history. The focus is on the here and now, and this indifference to the past makes it vulnerable to those that would seek to rewrite it for their own benefit. So we see the likes of David Barton, who tries to redefine the Founding Fathers as conservative Christian zealots, while many Americans don't know much to the contrary. And that's dangerous. And we're seeing that danger play its way out. And that's also why a new documentary film, which addresses the place of religion in our nation's foundations, is so important. First Freedom: The Fight for Religious Liberty premieres on PBS television stations nationwide on Tuesday, December 18th, and I am honored as well as pleased that the film's producer and director, Lee Groberg, is with us today. Lee, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much.
We've heard some heated debate in recent years regarding the founders' true intent when it comes to religious liberty in this country, but by and large, that debate assumes a unanimity of opinion on the part of the founders. And the first thing that really stands out about your film is the amount of internal dissent and compromise that were part of the formation of these principles. Is that the fight to which the title refers?
Yes, I believe so. I had no preconceived notions when we started this film. I wanted to see where it led us. And I made some discoveries for myself as this unfolded through scholarly input and reading, and then ultimately in doing the film. It mm-hmm. almost had a life of its own, but we tried to follow a script, which in some ways was surprising to me, because the Founding Fathers were not all of one belief, nor were some of them very outwardly religious. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of different opinions. And frankly, I think that's what the strength of this show is, because it illustrates the diversity of faiths and the desire for these men of faith in whatever level you would, would ascribe them to,
right,
as wanting to get along, wanting to, and so toleration was an important thing, but accommodation was a bigger thing.
And
they worked to have a law that would ensure that those who wanted to worship or those who didn't want to worship could enjoy the same freedom.
Lee, what were some of the competing agendas among the founders when it came to the relationship between religion and this brand new republic?
Well, I think two stand out. One, one of the founding fathers, Patrick Henry, was very much in favor of a general assessment. Again, hearkening back to the days in the old country where the state sponsored religion.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Jefferson was adamantly against it. And because he felt to compel a man to pay for something that he doesn't believe is tyrannical, as he said. And so that was one of the issues that came up. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, Thomas Jefferson prevailed mm-hmm. through James Madison and the team. George Mason was involved, but it helped bring about put an end to this general assessment and bring about a law of religious liberty.
I know that I'm using language that perhaps the founders didn't use,
mm-hmm.
And I have that in mind as I ask this question, but was there any agenda in the initial discussions that was advocating what is now referred to as a Christian nation?
I don't think so. The founding fathers were different stripes of Christians,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think a labeling, if you will, as America as a Christian nation was necessarily true. For instance, George Washington, one of our great founding fathers, wrote a letter to the people at the congregants at the Touro Synagogue in Newport, Rhode Island, assuring this Jewish congregation that they would enjoy freedom to worship in this country and that religious bigotry had no place here. And we all know that there was religious bigotry. There was some infighting and Catholics. It was illegal to be a Catholic in New York. And Baptists didn't fare very well in Virginia because the Anglican, the dominant church there, was even arresting Catholic or Baptist ministers for preaching. And, and so I think the reaction on the part of the Baptists, we owe them a debt of gratitude for helping the nation to become a nation that have a right to worship freely.
You know, I really appreciate you saying that because I happen to be a Baptist, and, I do know that two of the people that I really look up to during that time, Isaac Backus, James Leland, who had influence on these people, and they openly said they wanted a Christian nation from the standpoint of their belief, but they didn't want it imposed by the guidelines of government or the laws of government. Well, where did this group of people get their inspiration? I mean, this is not an easy thing to do. What kept them going?
Well, you know, I have my personal beliefs, which I am sure parallel yours. I firmly believe that the founding fathers and the wording of the documents of this country were divinely inspired. However, I don't know that anyone would have acknowledged that at the time. I believe whatever made their motor run, we can paint it any way we want, but if you look at it from a sectarian standpoint, or a non-sectarian, if, as far as that goes, I believe that it was more than coincidental that a group of bright minds and motivated men would come together to insist, one, to declare independence from their mother country, then to form a government, and to have the educational background, the political background, the international background, such as Franklin and Adams and Jefferson, and then the bright minds of some of these James Madisons and Patrick Henrys. To me, it's more than coincidence that it all came together. But again, I think whatever anyone's religious persuasion or lack of religion, I don't think anybody can deny that it was a remarkable thing that they came together, that these laws were formed first time in Western history, and that they have lasted for 240 years and will likely continue if we don't mess it up too badly.
and that's a part of why this film was done, to see we don't mess it up too badly.
I hope so. I really do.
Well, is there a hero in this story?
I think there are a lot of heroes. You know, the unsung heroes are the wives of these men. I think they were, their support is as important as the outward visible support or visible position of these founding fathers. But we haven't painted them that way. If we allowed Cokie Roberts, who has some wonderful things to say, a little more time in the film, we would have celebrated the women more. But they have a great role. And but who are the heroes? I don't know. We you know, recognizing there are more than 70 founding fathers, we had to winnow this down, and so we kept it to five. Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, James Madison, John Adams, and Thomas Jefferson. Five very differing personalities, but yet I think they were representative. And this, of course, there are some great sideline founding fathers: Samuel Adams, John Rutledge, George Mason, John Jay. Just a lot of people that surface, but only briefly, because in 90 minutes we cannot do a biography of each individual, but I suppose the time we spent most were on George Washington and Thomas Jefferson.
good choice, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm Welton Gaddy. My guest is Lee Groberg, producer and director of the film First Freedom, The Fight for Religious Liberty. It premieres on many PBS television stations on December 18th. You need to make a point to see this, learn from it, roll it over in your mind, the images and the thoughts. Lee, what attracted you to doing this subject?
I'll tell you what gave me the fire to do it. I met with WETA, which is the executive producer station in Washington, D.C.
Right.
I threw about six ideas at them. I did a film that aired in 2006, and it was extremely well received by PBS. And so while my name is still fresh on some people's minds, I met with them and I threw six ideas at them. The one I wanted to do the most was, at the time I titled it Faith of Our Fathers.
Mm-hmm.
It resonated with them, and I was grateful because, it was the top of the heap as far as shows I wanted to do. And why did I want to do it? Because I've always been fascinated. In fact, one time I stood in Independence Hall on another film and just stood there, and there was a palpable energy.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a spirit of place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, I want to understand more of what these founding fathers did, what they felt, what they understood, what their motivation was. And it just kind of grew within me. The timing of it or whatever. Actually, I suppose I would like to have had it air before the election, but I don't know that I wasn't out to try to sway anything. I just think it's an evergreen type topic that needs to be seen and seen again.
Yeah, listeners to this show know that its host, myself, thinks that religious freedom, that the First Freedom, is the cornerstone in our guarantee of rights and freedoms. And if we don't get this one right and keep it right, I think a lot of things can topple. You've talked about this a little bit, but what was the most surprising thing or the most important thing you learned while making the film?
Well, a couple of things. John Adams in his papers said that the Constitution was a great document, but he feared that we were not a virtuous enough society to sustain it, since it was a government by the people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his fear. I think a surprise that came to me was Benjamin Franklin, who was the second father of our country, the great statesman, who at age 81, they're talking, they're wrangling, if you will, at Independence Hall over the wording and of the Constitution. 4 months of it, and one day he stood up and read a prepared statement to president of the convention, George Washington, and he just, it's that famous homily that we always hear of, if a sparrow can fall without God's notice, how can a nation rise without his intervention? Mm-hmm. And I'd always heard that in church and thought, man, this is great. These founding fathers were all God-fearing men. But I learned in the filming or in the research on this that it was turned down, flatly denied. And so, but I felt it was important that we illustrate this.
Yeah.
And we did so. But the comeuppance, if you will, is the fact that they got along, they worked through it, they worked through their differing opinions, and then when he stood up again, or at least had his friend Mr. Wilson stand up and read his next speech, that was this, that I doubt that we could meet any longer and have a more perfect document than what we have drafted in the Constitution. And so, those who are thumping the Bible and the table and want this to be painted as a 100% God-fearing Christian bunch of founding fathers, they're not going to see it. But I think the greater strength of this story is that they weren't all the same, and yet they were able to get along. And the diversity of faiths in this country was the secret to its success.
You know, I'm just I'm moved by what you said, and frankly, I'm sad that the scene that you just described sounds so far away and so nearly impossible in our current situation.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
Well, you clearly have a love of history. How did you get it?
I don't know. It's just in my blood. I did not train to be a filmmaker. I have a master's degree in international business management. But through a course of events, I started producing films for corporations. And then I did my first documentary in 1987, and I got hooked. And there is something that I can't hardly describe other than you get bitten by the bug, and you when you discover something that is so interesting to yourself, you just kind of want to share it with others. And and so we've got a pretty good film crew that we are able to set the stage and turn the visual clock of history back to the time of the event. And it's my goal that the viewers can feel like a fly on the wall watching history unfold. And so when we're in places like Monticello or Colonial Williamsburg or Independence Hall or Carpenter's Hall, we turn that clock back with wardrobe, with everything we possibly can do, even replacing the floor, covering the floor with wood that looked like it would have at the time. And you know, I just think we've been able to do a fairly good job of letting the viewers be that fly on the wall and experience history firsthand.
What's next for you?
Well, I've got a couple of three films. One, I've been working on one that's down in Mexico. It's about archaeoastronomy. It's the layout of the heavenly bodies, the constellations, and the pre-Hispanic Indians' knowledge of the heavens. Where they got that, who knows, but they were able to bring heaven to earth in the layout of their sacred sites. Pyramids, burial chambers, etc. And and it's I was asked to do this by a research foundation who's into anthropology, and again I got hooked on that one. we're telling history, you know, that's probably a couple of thousand years old, and it's really fun. So that'll probably be the next one that surfaces next year.
Lee Groberg's work has won the George Washington Medal of Honor and first place wins at various international film festivals. Credits include America's Choir, the story of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, and American Prophet, the story of Joseph Smith. His latest film, First Freedom, The Fight for Religious Liberty, premieres on PBS television stations nationwide on Tuesday, December 18th. You who listen to this show regularly know and understand why I urge you and urge your friends to go and get together, watch this, and then talk about it. Lee, thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you. It was a privilege.